Amen. I want to look this morning at the subject of weariness. Galatians 6 and 9, it says there, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." We live in quite exasperating times, don't we? And it's a crazy world out there. And there's an old saying that the world's gone mad, and it's true, isn't it? It feels sometimes like all the things that we take for granted in our society and civilization seems to be crumbling. And, you know, we live in a world of fear, a world of violence, and a world of immorality, don't we? And it can be quite wearing on us. It's an unstable world out there. But thank God this morning that we serve a God of hope. Thank God that he's provided a way of escape for you and I to escape from this perverse and wicked generation, that we can find salvation from this generation in which we live. And we have a certain hope. And you and I, as Christians, when we are set on a different course to the course of this world, we can find peace with God. We have forgiveness of sins. We have a certain future. But we also have to live in the world, don't we? Even though we're no longer of it. But the danger for us in serving God is that you and I become weary in well-doing. And the Bible warns against this. It's not easy living for God in a crazy world, is it? We face pressures like no other generation has known. You know, as well as all the craziness out there, we face temptations left and right. We face financial pressures, family pressures, work pressures, peer pressures. We're in a real battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when you serve God, the devil marks you out as a target. His number one strategy is to wear out the saints of the Most High God. Tells us this, doesn't it, in the book of Revelations, that in the last days he'll try to wear out the saints of the Most High God. The thing is, you and I, we like the easy life. We like the comfortable life. We want a smooth life, don't we? But in reality, life's not like that, is it? It always is full of obstacles and pressures, and unexpected things come our way. And serving God is not popular in the day and age in which we live. True Christianity certainly isn't. It brings us inevitably into conflict with this world system. It stands opposed to sin and unrighteousness. And serving God makes us a target for the enemy. And we shouldn't be surprised when we get hit by those fiery darts from the enemy. Because we have to fight daily, don't we, against sin and temptation. We have to pick up the cross daily and to do what is right in God's sight. And it can cost us. It can be a struggle. And the danger is that we get discouraged. The enemy knows how to hit us, doesn't he? And many times we are under attack in our lives as we seek to do the will of God. Do you remember Elijah? And when he saw the prophets of Baal defeated, and he'd just seen God move mightily, fire come down from heaven, prophets of Baal were destroyed. And yet we find in the next chapter, he's running for his life, discouraged because of the words of Jezebel. And he runs off into the wilderness and he sits under a broom tree asking God to take his life. And then later in the cave, he's saying he was the only one left of God's people, which of course wasn't true, because the Bible says, doesn't it, that God had reserved 7,000 that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. But the enemy likes to whisper lies into our ears, words of discouragement. And we can all get discouraged. We can all feel worn down at times as believers. But the danger in that is that it leads us to withdrawing from the front line of the battle. It leads us to withdrawing from God. And that's a dangerous place. And that's where we can begin to backslide. You see, our strength has to come from God. We can't function and serve God in our own strength. We can't live the life God intends for us through self-effort. Because self-effort Christianity is no different than any other religion out there. 2 Corinthians 3 and 5 says this, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." And 2 Corinthians 9 and 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Our sufficiency is from God. We need to go to him for strength. We need to draw from the well. And if we've stopped drawing from that wellspring of life, then we're just returning to self-effort religion, and that will only wear us out. David Pawson said that the difference between real Christianity and religion is the difference between sailing a boat or trying to get to your destination by rowing a boat. In fact, religion is like trying to row the boat without any paddles. You're not going to get anywhere fast. But on a sailboat, if you allow the wind to fill the sails, the wind powers the boat. And whilst, you know, there's still things you have to do on the boat, like ensure it's going in the right direction and course, all of the effort and all of the power comes from the wind. And unless you and I are being powered by the Spirit of God, we will just be religious. We will get very soon worn out. We have to go to the well, don't we? We have to draw from his resources. We have to abide in him. Otherwise, we just wither on the vine. But Jesus said, did he not? Without me, you can do nothing. The real test of our faith comes when we face the difficulties in life. The real test of our faith comes when the crisis comes our way, when things go wrong in life, and which in this uncertain world can happen to any of us, whether it be illness, loss of income, persecution. Sometimes life has a habit of just exploding in your face, doesn't it? And you just don't know what's hit you. Or sometimes it's just that relentless slog of continued pressure and no relief. And it's in these times, when our ebb is low, as it were, that we are tempted to grow weary. But we have to make a choice. Are we going to trust God? Are we going to look to him? Or are we going to give in to the pressures and crumble? Where do we run to when things do go wrong? Is it to our own resources? To our independent, stubborn self-will? Or do we run to God who provides, God who heals, God who forgives, who delivers and strengthens us? Do we call upon the Lord? Do we plead with the God of heaven? Do we pray? Do we seek out the Lord? Do we set our mind on things above? Or do we allow ourselves to be crushed by the circumstances and wallow in that mire of self-pity that we're so good at too often, and despair? You know, discouragement is a poison, isn't it? It can melt a man's heart. It can crush a man's spirit. It can destroy a man's hope. You know, when you're discouraged, you just want to quit. You just want it all to go away. But it doesn't, does it? Psalm 55, verse 4 to 8 says, my heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. That's our natural reaction, isn't it? But in verse 16 and 17, David got his perspective back, and he said, evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. And in verse 22, he says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you, and he shall never permit the righteous to be moved. See, our answer is to call upon the Lord, to trust in him, even when we can't see the way forwards. It's God who's the one who sustains us, and we have to cast our cares upon him. See, we have a resource that the world doesn't have. We've been reconciled to the living God. He's more than able to give us all that we need to fulfil his will and his destiny in our lives. We sing that nothing is too difficult for him. Do we believe that? His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. His arm is outstretched towards us. So why do we so often not go to God when things get hard? You see, we should go to God both when life is easy and when it's hard. In fact, the danger when life is running smoothly is that we may forget God. we may think we don't have need of God. We can forget that all of the blessings that we enjoy and take for granted come from God. You know, we need to seek God for who he is, not for what he can do for us. Although we do need him to help us. The question is do we love him? Do we desire to know him? Do we want more of God himself? Or do we just want to continue to struggle, to strain in our own strength, growing tired and weary, and only call on him when it's an emergency? But we need to look to God at all times. That is the evidence that we trust him, isn't it? And that he does meet our needs. You see, God does help us, doesn't he? He helps the weary. Jeremiah 31:25 says, "For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul." God replenishes us, doesn't he? And we have to keep going back to him for more. We need replenishing because we're leaky vessels. Isaiah 50 and verse 4 says, "The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." See, God can bring a word in season to us that gives us strength. Have you ever found yourself with a real heaviness in you and a spirit that you just can't shake off or even explain? Sometimes we wake up with that heaviness, but when you get on your knees and you begin to pray and you begin to call upon God, it lifts, doesn't it? And you find that your peace is restored, your joy returns, and your spirit is replenished, because God knows how to revive the weary. He can speak a word in due season, and he can satiate and satisfy the weary soul. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you're heavy laden this morning, we need to go to him. He will give us rest. If we're worn down, we need to go to God. He alone can lift us up. He alone can satisfy the longing soul. Do we believe it? Or would we rather carry on in our misery and anguish? You know, we need encouragement, don't we? We need lifting up sometimes. You know, we ultimately find that in God. But we can also encourage one another in the body of Christ. We can spur each other on. Pray for each other. Be there for the weak and the weary. Support each other. Love one another. We're commanded to do that, aren't we? We need encouragement. And we also need patience in trials. Something that we're not always very good at. Another thing that causes weariness often is unanswered prayers. Sometimes we don't always see the instant results that we'd like when we pray. Sometimes, despite praying, things can seem to get worse. But we have to trust in God that he will ultimately work out for good, all things for our good, if we'll trust in him. Sometimes God has to work on different aspects of our lives. Sometimes we're praying out of alignment with God's will. Sometimes God's timing is not our timing. God has different timings on things than what we always want and expect. But we have to know that God's heart towards us is good. He acts for our benefit. It may not always feel like it, but we have to trust him and trust his goodness towards us and not give up or lose heart. Hebrews 12 and verse 12 says this, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But you are, if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Sometimes you and I are under God's discipline. As scripture tells us, at the time it doesn't seem to be joyous, but it's actually painful. It's not all joy and roses serving God. There is correction. There is rebuke. God does and can chastise us, but he does it because he loves us, so that we can partake of his holiness. He allows us to go through difficulties, but afterwards the scripture says it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And verse 12 it says, therefore, or in other words, because of God's discipline, even though you've become weary and your hands may be hanging down, your knees may be feeble. And have you ever felt like that? Where every step feels like an effort, where getting out of bed in the morning with nothing but dread for the day ahead, with no strength to carry on. Even if you feel like that, remember God is working in your life, and we need to trust him and strengthen those hands that hang down. It says, and make straight paths for our feet so that we can be healed. You know, the truth is this morning, we haven't had to die for our faith yet, have we? We've not gone to the shedding of blood yet. So we need to trust in God and not give up. And don't turn our back on the one who saved us and brought us safe thus far, as the old hymn goes. His grace will lead you home if you allow him to. Hebrews 12 and 3 says, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Look at the hostility that Jesus endured against himself. He was mocked, rejected, scorned, and ultimately crucified for serving God. You know, we have to get things into perspective this morning, don't we? Weariness is a choice that we make. We can choose to listen to Satan's lies about us or about God, or how we can never make it, or how hard it is serving God, or how God can't help us, or how we're too hard of a case for God, how God doesn't answer our prayers. Or we can choose to call upon the Lord and trust him and believe him. Remember Elijah. You know, God spoke to him when he was discouraged, and he didn't do it through the earthquake or the whirlwind, but a still small voice saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? And God says to us with that same still small voice, what are you doing here? Why have you got discouraged? Have I not freely given you all things? Have I not provided fully for your salvation? Has not my blood been shed for you? Have I not atoned for your sins? Have I not covered you in my son's righteousness? Have I not made you clean? Have I not promised to complete the work I began in you? Why are you giving up? Why are you quitting when he's only a prayer away? He said he's with us always, even to the end of the age. We need to listen to that still small voice, don't we? Be still and know that I am God. If you're in a place of weariness, a place of discouragement, or drawn back, then don't give up, but draw near to God. And he will draw near to you, it tells us in the scriptures. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift you up. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the feeble knees be strengthened. Let the arms that hang down be lifted up. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If we wait upon the Lord in prayer, he will renew our strength. And then he can say to you in Revelations 2:3, and you have persevered and have patience and have laboured for my name's sake and have not become weary. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. It's easy to grow weary, isn't it? Life often makes us weary. Disappointments, setbacks, Just when things seem to come together, more problems arise. More obstacles come into view. You go over one hill and another one comes into view. And it can get discouraging. We're in a battle. Sometimes we're just physically worn out. Constantly on the go or with little rest. We need to rest, don't we? God understands that. That's why he gave man a day of rest. He understood our needs, that our bodies need rest. We need a good night's sleep. And if you need a good mattress, you know where to come. We do benefit from holidays. It's a chance to recharge our batteries, to refocus our lives. So we mustn't neglect that physical need. But more important is our spiritual need to rest. To rest in God. To have our minds stayed upon him. To renew our strength in him. You know, God is the only one who can sustain us with a battle, isn't he? And if you're battle weary, then the Lord is your strength. And we can look to him. Let's pray. Amen.
Amen.
Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, today that our strength is indeed found in you. Oh God, just, Lord God, replenish us, we pray, Lord. More of you, Lord. We need more of you and less of us. Fill us with your spirit, Lord. Strengthen us, encourage us and help us, and lift us up, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.